Welcome to the RICS podcast, bringing you insight and opinion on the built environment from around the world. I'm Matthew Tallis, FRICS, Global Cost and Commercial Management Service Director for the Mobility Business Unit at Arcadis. I'm joined by Sam Nicholson, MRICS, partner at Wakefield's Chartered Building Surveyors, chair of both the 1947 Club and RICS Matrices Newcastle, and Garicha Deshmukh, a recent graduate of a master's student at Cardiff University and the RICS Campus Ambassador. Today, we are discussing what we've each been doing to promote chartership and cultivate community within the profession. Before we find out how you've promoted chartership and cultivated a community, it'd be good to find out more about you both. So good day to you. Sam, I wanted to come to yourself first. We were both at the RICS Matrices Awards last year where you won Mentor of the Year. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Yeah, so in a nutshell, I finished my school studies and went to university and got my degree in building surveying, which included a placement year. I did maybe, 6 to 9 months in employment with a small SME business straight after qualifying, and then had an itch to scratch and did some traveling and moved to France. And then I worked for a maritime organization in terms of offshore renewable energy for about 5 years, and then came back full circle to building surveying about 5 years ago, which takes us kind of up to date in terms of chartership and matrix and things like that, which we'll cover later in the episode.
Sounds great. And you've had that international experience as well in surveying. Super. Super stuff. Garicha, really interested to find out more about yourself and how you've cultivated that community as part of being the RICS Campus Ambassador. Can you tell us a little bit more about your surveying experience to date?
I just completed my master's in urban and regional development. So it is a fully RICS accredited course. So that is how I joined RICS as a campus ambassador. So there was this initiative rolled by RICS in March 2023. So I applied to that initiative and they selected me to become a RICS campus ambassador and represent Cardiff University at RICS Wales. So since April, I've been working as RICS Campus Ambassador here in RICS Wales.
Brilliant. Look forward to hearing more from you about that. To introduce myself, I'm a Chartered Quantity Surveyor, 15 years experience. I am based from Birmingham, the UK, so you may hear some lovely Brummy tones in my accent. I've been in the construction industry since 2007, started out in main contracting, was there 7-8 years before moving to a PQS environment. And I've been there for about 10 years working on major infrastructure projects, which I really, really enjoy. I got chartered in 2014. And since then, I've wanted to ensure that we have got strong programs in place that support all of our colleagues on that chartership journey. I've been in situations where I've had to do a lot of the APC heavy lifting myself. So having the support, having the community is really important. So really looking forward to hearing more from yourselves on that. So with introductions complete, and before going into our activities that we've been doing, a good place to start is with chartership. So what does that mean to call ourselves chartered surveyors? What's the difference between a surveyor and a chartered surveyor? What motivates you to want to become a chartered surveyor now you've recently graduated?
Yeah, I think definitely it's a possibility for my future to become a chartered surveyors. But currently I'm you know, keeping an open mind and, you know, exploring different career paths, which are in the built environment and which comes under the RICS framework. So I think what particularly piques my interest in the built environment is the range of specializations that the RICS offers, you know, from building surveying to, you know, environmental surveying to sustainability and development, which plays a vital role. And, you know, I am sure it's going to be a part of my career goal, but I think the RICS pathways will surely help me in, you know, getting into that particular interesting pathway. So,
yeah. You're more experience focused at the moment, right, with the aim to gradually move towards a chartership in future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. Sam, for yourself, I mean, what did it mean to become a chartered surveyor?
In retrospect and looking back in hindsight, the process is it's no small task, to say the least. There's a lot of work, a lot of time, and a lot of passion that goes into the process. And I'm immensely proud to say I'm a chartered surveyor. And I think the difference between a surveyor and a chartered surveyor is that structured learning of going from, depending on you, if the 12-month or 24-month route or a slightly different route, it's either solidifying the knowledge that you've got or adding to that to kind of step you up to the next level. And I appreciate chartership's not for everyone, but I'm sure we'll go into it later. There are a whole host of benefits, both personal and professional, in relation to going through that process and putting in the hard work.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, I think it's an incredible learning journey, which I think you touched on there. I always found that when you're reading up about competencies, or maybe you're getting absolutely grilled in some of those mock interviews on particular subjects, or you're just going into a new project to experience a competency you've never done, or it always created a really good learning experience to expand on the knowledge. And I suppose with the experience that you're going to get, being able to measure yourselves in terms of that structure that the chartership provides to you, it is a really, really good learning experience. And it does then help with opening more doors in terms of opportunities, especially earlier on in your career with that qualification, because it does hold value domestically and internationally.
I agree. I think the credibility or the weight behind it differs per pathway. It's quite heavily, or it's a large requirement, specifically within building surveying, and I'd argue within certain aspects of quantity surveying, whereas some of the other maybe more niche pathways, it might not be as much weight added to it. But just to circle back to, in terms of going through the process, there's a really good quote that somebody once said to me, and going through that process is getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, because you're going to have that in your professional life and you're not always going to know the answer, but you need to get into that train of thought of, well, okay, this is the problem and how are we going to overcome it? Whether it's a competency, whether it's an interview, a question, then that was something that summed it up particularly well to me.
Yeah, sounds great. And I hope we haven't put you off at all, Garicha, about doing it. You know, it can be a tough process, but it's really worthwhile.
Yeah. I think right now I'm eagerly delving deeper into the qualifications and the experience that is required to become a chartered surveyor.
Super. No, that's great. So we've just talked there through about being a chartered surveyor. So that was really good to get your thoughts. And now just moving into the activities that we've been involved with. I think we've all been actively engaging and supporting others with the RICS and the industry as a whole. Would you like to talk to us a little bit more about what you've been doing in the industry? Maybe starting off with yourself this time first, Sam.
Yeah, so as you alluded to in my introduction earlier on, I am in a fortunate enough position to be the RICS Matrix Newcastle Chair, which is supported by the 1947 Club and the 1947 Next Gen, which is the equivalent to Matrix in our local area. So I am very fortunate to be in this position to be able to organize a whole host of events with the aim of not only supporting chartership, but supporting those in the early stages of their career to build those connections with their peers in the local and the national sector to get the ball rolling in terms of those connections in the APC program. In addition to that, they also run a chartership program, which helps people who are maybe from smaller firms or people who are struggling in terms of progress with their APC to bring people together to progress with their APC. And that could be in terms of we have twice weekly calls. We can organize mock interviews and question reviews and a really good forum for those just to ask any question about the APC and especially around the submission window, which we've just recently passed in terms of, okay, what have you done for this? What have you got an issue with the document or submission or the portal? And having that community to share questions, which has been particularly beneficial to quite a lot of people.
Sounds great. And for those listening who are interested in a bit more about what the RICS matrices do, what do you do in Newcastle that people can get interested with?
Yeah, so we run a whole host of events that are aimed at being inclusive in nature. So historically, I think when people think of surveyors networking, they all revolved around going to the pub for a drink, which has its place. But we organize a whole host of other events which aren't alcohol-centric. So that could include sports days. We have a whole host of restaurants that we visit every quarter. We have a surfing and a barbecue event in the summer. And then we have our CPD to promote certain subjects and APC CPDs and things like that. So a whole host of things that aim to be inclusive. And the majority of those are either free or have a very, very minimal cost, again, to try and break down those barriers to entry.
Yeah, and so it's not about extra work. If people are joining thinking they're going to get extra work at all. I mean, you've just listed loads of socials there.
Yeah, exactly. It should be an addition to work as opposed to seeing it as a work task. And these things, the first one's always tricky to go to when you don't know anyone. But as soon as you go to one or two, you'll see some familiar faces. And I promise it does become a bit easier.
Sounds great. Yeah, sounds really, really good. And the 1947 Club, you said that supports the RSS matrices.
Yeah, so that a local, I think you could probably say it as a charity, a local charity organisation that revolves around surveying, and they provide support in a similar nature to Matrix in terms of support with those in their early stages of their career, which is a good sister charity or a sister company to be able to lean on to give us some extra support if we need it. That could be funding, that could be the APC route and everything that sits in between that.
And 1947, I got to ask, why 1947, not 1948? Is it to do with the RSES founding?
It's not. It's to do with when it was the club was founded.
Okay.
And there's a big, long story in terms of the founding members and why and things like that. But in its tagline, if there ever was one, is to support those in their early stages of the career.
Sounds great. That sounds really good. Really, really good activity. Garicha, for yourself, in terms of your activities, is that focused around the campus ambassador, or is there more that you've been doing?
Yes, it's a bit of both. So the role allows me to act as a bridge between the university students and RICS. So as a campus ambassador, I actively promote the benefits of RICS accreditation to both prospective and the current students. So I collaborate with the RICS early engagement team and Matrix here in Wales and assist in promoting these events which Matrix hosts and the opportunities directly to the students and young graduates and professionals at the university. And, you know, I am also currently producing a 5-part podcast series which ensures, you know, it promotes these values of RICS's diversity, inclusion and equality. And beyond these traditional promotions, I'm also a little bit enthusiastic about creating engaging content. So I also film and produce videos of these events. So recently I did a filming of RICS's Cardiff office opening and some of those events. So I like to do that. So yeah, as a whole, I do a lot of things for both the university students as well as professionals here in.
Yeah, that sounds great. What's your engagement been like with some of the videos and some of the podcasts that you plan?
Yeah, so it's for you know, promoting the RICS's values amongst university students, so that they get to know more about how RICS works here in Wales and how they can be involved in various initiatives.
That's great. And I suppose that's part of the promoting the chartership and the profession.
Yes, the profession.
That sounds great. And the podcast, you say, have you started that 5-part series?
Yes,
yet?
we've just recorded the first episode. So we are hoping to publish it in the coming weeks. So I'm sure we'll get some feedback on that. So let's
sounds
see how
great.
It goes.
Yeah. You're the pro. You're the pro amongst me and Sam.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
That sounds really good. And really exciting, because you're using technology then to spread and to promote the profession much further, because, you know, anyone can then go and access that. So that's superb.
Matthew, I think you've been asking us some questions on this topic, but I think it's prudent of us to flip the coin and ask you some questions. So from my understanding, you've had some input, or it might solely be you, in terms of setting up some additional engagement with the RICS outside of the UK. Is that right?
Yeah. So what we have done is we set up a program in the Philippines for RICS chartership. So it was a program that I co-founded, that's why I say we, in 2023 with my colleague in Arcadis, James Gallagher. So shout out to James. We have a large team in the Philippines. We've got over 500 colleagues who work there, and there is no RICS chartership program, but there's just massive, massive interest from the team there. And they're all really engaged. They're passionate, experienced, skilled colleagues. And the reason they didn't have access is because the big obstacle, they had to do an in-person interview. And the closest office was in Singapore, or was in Hong Kong. And from a time and a cost perspective, it was really difficult to make that happen. And if you remember, pre-pandemic, all the interviews, they were in person. We used to go to a venue, you used to go and sit in that room with everyone who was super nervous. It was horrible. But during and post-pandemic, that moved to a remote platform. And what that also did is it suddenly removed that obstacle for colleagues who were sat in regions who couldn't go and do in-person interviews. So certainly our colleagues in the Philippines had an opportunity to engage and to actually start that chartership journey. So myself and James, we put together a program to our business for funding to do just that. And that's how the program started. And one of the ways that we've set the program up is we wanted to build in the associate RSCS qualification, because it's a really good point in the journey of to getting towards chartership, especially if English isn't your first language. It's a written submission where you can, you know, review it with your supervisors and your counselors, and then get that put forward on your level ones and twos with a case study. So we implemented that last year. We started registering with 10 colleagues, but we've now got over 35 colleagues who are enrolled on that after, you know, 18 months. We've already got 6 colleagues who are associate RSCS already. 2 of them passed last year. So within 12 months, we had 2 colleagues who passed. So shout out to Lamex and Jomai who did that, who worked super hard. And those 6 are now being enrolled onto the full APC. So we're going to move them onto full chartership, and we're hoping we can kind of put those forward in the next 12 to 18 months for chartership.
Wow, that's exciting. And that seems particularly fast paced from the start date to where we are now. I think the follow on question was, if I was going to put you on the spot, do you think anyone, once they're chartered and they have a few more variables or a few more things to add, do you think there'll be anyone that'll apply for fellowship, which would be a pretty milestone?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be something we're thinking about in the distance. We're focused on getting a good number of people chartered first, but 100% we could then start looking at fellowship. What we're keen to do, I think, before the fellowship would be to try and get a number of people chartered and then get the program self-sufficient. So at the moment, we're working really closely with our UK colleagues, because that's where we've got strong supervisors and counselors. But then once we get colleagues chartered in the Philippines, we can then get those people to be supervisors and counselors. So that, I think that's what we're aiming to do. And yes, it's been really, really quite inspirational as well, because this is a program that it can genuinely change colleagues' lives. You know, if they achieve the MRICS qualification, we know of the status that can give you. The candidates can then maybe look at furthering their career in the Philippines. They could become technical experts who work remotely, or they may want to go and choose to work internationally in places like the UK, Australia, Middle East, where the MRICS does open those doors.
Amazing. It's really good to hear that program's been put in place and that it's already coming to fruition. I think when we're talking about attracting people into the profession, there's a lot of talk about trying to attract a diverse next generation, although not particularly linked to age. From your side, Matt, in terms of attracting the next generation, what do you think we need to be aware of, or what would be your tactic for attracting the next generation?
We need to embrace the emerging trends that we're seeing right now in the industry. So we think about the technology, we think about the sustainability aspects that we can influence as surveyors. And I think we really need to start embracing those aspects and using that as ways of talking to the next generation about how we're able to influence on things like carbon, how we're able to positively influence on sustainability and making sure that our assets and buildings are more sustainable, and also how we're embracing those technological changes and how we're using maybe, you know, drones to do site surveys, or how we're starting to use 5D BIM and auto design models to embrace that technological change, because that can also then attract the next generation. It makes the construction world maybe seem a little bit more attractive. It's not, you know, people sat down with a DIM paper anymore and just writing down and doing and using their scale rule. It is a change in industry. And I think that's really exciting in a way that we can bring in the next generation of surveyors to it. I mean, what are your thoughts for it, Garicha? Because you are one of the next generation.
I think opening doors for the next generation and, you know, guiding them in the language that they understand is a way we can include them, and, you know, maybe through mentorship programs, or, you know, just making them aware as to, okay, this is a field where you can contribute with your skills. And, you know, even if you don't have certain skills in the construction industry, it's not like you can't go into that. You can obviously learn those new skills and get into that field if you're interested.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So that it's one of the pieces there is the early engagement. I think when I was at school and going through my studies and having to choose my subjects for GCSE and A levels, I probably didn't have any foresight of which subjects I should choose to go towards surveying, whether it was going to be maths or physics or something along those lines. So I think that early engagement and the awareness is a really, really important point for organizations such as Matrix to push forward, which is part of our national agenda of trying to get into schools as opposed to universities to discuss the different types of careers within the construction sector. Because building surveying to some people could mean 2 or 10 different things, because there's so many different types of building surveying, and the same with quantity surveying, and the list goes on and on and on. And the other part in terms of technology, even if we look in the last 5 years, pre and post COVID, there's been a huge shift, which was a requirement for change, that fairly fast pace, even just to online and remote working. And if that can happen in 5 years, if we're thinking about BIM and technology and the use of AI and data, then the next 5 or 10 years should, in theory, follow that path and the adaption in an ideal world.
Yeah, and is that something that, as chair of the 1947 Club, that you're supporting then? Are you supporting that through the 1947 Club or the Matrices?
Yeah, so both the Matrix Newcastle and a whole host of the other Matrix committees around the United Kingdom and the 1947 Club, for our region, we almost share the load and make sure that we get that early engagement, which, to be perfectly honest, we're probably not early enough yet. We're going into middle schools and career stays at high schools to promote the different jobs that are available. But arguably, as I just mentioned before, we need to be going into those first schools to sow that seed earlier on of, well, this is what you can do and this is what the output is. So that seed is there and it grows as they have a bit more perception of choosing subjects and universities and career paths. Or whether a very valid point now is that instead of the traditional route, in inverted commas, of going down and getting a degree or a master's to come into the industry, then the apprenticeship route seems to be particularly well received. And I think in hindsight, if I had my option again, I would probably prefer an apprenticeship route as opposed to the traditional university placement and then employment.
Why would you prefer the apprenticeship route?
I think the on-the-job training and the application of the learning week on week on month on month is particularly beneficial to solidifying the knowledge that you've got from your studies. Oh, well, okay, I've learned about contract administration. And then if I produce a payment certificate the next week, then it solidifies, okay, that actually I can put it into application. But that's personally for me, that's how it would benefit me and make sense to me. But everybody's different.
Yeah. Do you think we see more apprentices then come through? Because we're conscious in the UK, I'm not sure about further outside internationally, but in the UK, we are seeing that tuition fees are higher than what they were traditionally. Do you think we'll start seeing more apprentices that come through in the industry then?
I think even in the last few years, and I'm speaking particularly up in the north of England, there has been a small influx of apprenticeships and people that are either coming to the end of that, where they have to do their APC and things like that, that are tied into the whole apprenticeship. In terms of predictions for the future, I would expect to see that to continue to grow. And one of the major driving factors will be the cost of university, which shouldn't be underestimated in comparison to when I went to university. It was considerably cheaper, but I wouldn't say it was cheap. It's just more expensive now. So if I was going to put a bet on you, I'd like to think that would continue to grow.
Yeah, and that may also bring in more diversity and inclusion as well within the apprentices that come through, because maybe cost isn't so much of a barrier when they're on that apprenticeship journey. To Garicha, how do you believe that a more diverse and inclusive profession will benefit not only the surveyors but also the wider industry?
Yeah, I think it benefits both surveyors and the industry in several ways, because when there's a diverse team on board, it brings wider range of perspectives and experiences. So I think it fosters more creative solutions and, you know, innovative approaches in this sort of complex, challenging profession, I think. And I think if I talk about myself, I come from a diverse background. So I think it opens doors for people like me to get into and allow to pursue this, you know, a fulfilling career in surveying, and, you know, leads to a more competitive and a well-rounded workforce for that matter.
Well, absolutely. I think you you've hit the nail on the head there. It does enhance the creation, innovation, improves problem solving, because you've got more diverse perspectives when you're making those decisions. And there's been studies out there that show that diverse companies do outperform others with more diversity, just because of the decisions, better decisions have been made.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it also brings a greater sense of belonging. It has like a job satisfaction, if I have to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. How do we think that RSCS members can promote those values that they have within those organizations of being more inclusive?
I think championing diversity, inclusion, and equality is one of the things which can be vocalized in organizations and, you know, various firms, and demonstrating those commitment through these values is one way, and maybe actively mentoring and sponsoring student groups, or, you know, helping them navigate their careers to reach their potential is a way to promote maybe RICS's values.
Absolutely. Is that something that the 1947 or the matrices include as well, then, that champion or that mentorship, Sam?
Yeah, it is. It's exactly one of the main aims, both to nurture and create an inclusive environment for those in their early stages of the career, which are the what we're going to title as the next generation, which is very, very the best way to describe them, definitely the next generation. I think there's also a point to discuss in terms of how do you make the construction sector attractive? Because if you think about connotations or stereotypes, then generally it's a male-dominated industry, but it's trying to break down those barriers and say, well, actually, we are making positive steps to change that, but things take a while for perceptions and connotations to change. So I think we are doing well at trying to change that and trying to change external perceptions. Us internally, we might have a slightly different perception, because reality and perceptions are two different things. But I don't think the work in that regard is ever done. It constantly needs to be addressed and pushed and questioned and to make sure we have that diverse workforce in the future for all of the positives that we just mentioned before.
Yeah, and I think you touched on it there, recruitment's important. So if we continue to go to the same traditional recruitment pools, you're not going to make it as diverse, whereas if you recruit in different ways in terms of those recruitment pools, if you are looking at maybe more apprentices, if you are looking at maybe non-traditional universities who don't have those surveyors, if you're also looking at different regions where there aren't those same levels of gender imbalance, you're able to diversify the surveying industry a little bit more. Just from my experience with the Philippines, we've actually got a gender positive balance there. So within Arcadis, we've got 60% female to 40% male of surveyors in our team. So we've actually got a gender positive balance there. So if the RSCS and companies can recruit in those regions in the Philippines or in other areas where you've got more of a gender positive balance, you're able to then maybe bring in more female surveyors. You're also bringing in more diversity as well from those different regions. So I think if we also were encouraged to look at different regions, that can support that diversification.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point and something that needs to be considered and thought of for the future.
Super, super. I was also interested in asking yourselves about how you believe that the RSCS can actively engage and contribute with the local communities and demonstrate the value of the professional accreditation. Just on what you were saying there with what you're doing around podcasting, the technology, your engagement with the region. I mean, how would you think that we can actively engage further in those local communities?
I think beyond the podcasts and, you know, going digital, I think volunteering for community projects is a way that RICS can involve with the local communities, you know, offering expertise in the local construction and development projects, you know, and listening to what the community has to say is a better way, or maybe even organizing some workshops, small scale workshops could, you know, engage the community more into the RICS.
Yeah, and just through the campus ambassador role, is that part of the remit of what that role is?
I think I can say it's more for the university community rather than, you know, just a general local community. So yeah, I think it's about more of a university oriented role.
Yeah, and you mentioned there the volunteering and getting involved with the local communities. I think there's a number of RICS members are part of organisations who may offer charity days or opportunities to do volunteering days. And that's maybe a good opportunity to engage and to maybe go and present into schools or get involved. I know last month I went back to my previous secondary school during National Careers Week, and I spoke to the Year 9 and talked to them about the opportunities that a career in construction and surveying can provide, because I didn't know about quantity surveying until my early 20s. Whereas I think you said it earlier, Sam, if you can start increasing the awareness of the profession, you're really going to then start planting that seed, but also just raising awareness of that that is an option moving forward. You know, the construction industry isn't going to go away or disappear. It is an option for those students moving forward.
Yeah, that's a really valid point in terms of getting in. I think there's also the opportunity in terms of engaging with the community for a whole host of both surveyors and organisations. I can only imagine the number of smaller firms that operate in their communities that maybe people don't even know they're there. So it's trying to promote both their own business, but the RICS and chartership and surveying as a profession in addition. So I think there's multiple wins from similar activities, whether that's going to the ones that spring to mind in my local area, a local beach clean, whether we could go as a company of surveyors to promote the profession and promote, well, actually, we've got ethical principles and procedures to help the community, or whether that could be we've got a people's kitchen that we're going to volunteer in the next few months, and again promoting surveying, the benefit to the firm of, okay, we've done some voluntary work, it makes everyone feel really good, and also promoting the sector as a whole in terms of surveying. So I think there's a whole host of benefits to that, and arguably for very limited effort. The volunteering and beach cleaning isn't, in comparison to the day-to-day jobs and the problems that we overcome, they're arguably pretty easy tasks that can be completed that make a difference to everyone in the community. So I think there's a point there in terms of promoting that community engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you've just said, it's all scalable. You know, if someone really wants to go and set up a program or set up a beach clean or set up an activity like that, it's very scalable. You know, you just set up what you'd like to do, you set some actions forward, you then maybe get people together. If you're passionate about one of these areas, it's very scalable that you can go and move forward, organize that and really make an impact. And maybe you might also then inspire others to do the same thing. And then it's compounding as well. If you can make that impact, it's going to impact other people to maybe do the same.
Yeah, very, very much so. I agree.
Super. So as we strive to raise the profile of the RICS and promote chartership, the concept of a community within the profession becomes more and more important. How do you think that RICS members, wherever they may be based in the world, can cultivate a strong sense of community and support? I know, Sam, you've done that through the region in Newcastle, and it'd be good to hear a bit more about yourself before coming to yourself, Garicha, on what you're doing in the Cardiff and Wales area.
Yeah, I think, as I say, at a regional or a local level, it's maybe a bit of a smaller and easier task to run the CPD events and have events and organisations and have the community effect, or trying to achieve that community effect within the profession. In a local area, that's probably happens and is ongoing, which is the smaller or the easier task. Building that national community where surveyors from, I'm up in Newcastle, where I would easily have the ability to speak to someone from Devon or Cornwall or further afield, if we're thinking about outside of the United Kingdom, to build that community is all to do with and stems from the RICS in terms of the communication and the intertwined between different disciplines, which, to my understanding, is definitely in recent years has been particularly engaging in terms of the communication that you get and then the opportunity to have your input with the RICS, not just solely through the matrix, but in terms of the professional the input that you can have on the RICS in terms of a whole host of different subjects. So if there was a particular subject or a particular topic where there was some guidance, whether that's at a national level or international level, then the ability to have some input to that helps foster that community, But it has to be both ways. The information that you put out, the RSS they need to send out, which I think in recent years they've definitely made leaps forward in terms of the communication to members and trying to build that community.
Absolutely. And is that your finding as well, Karicha?
I think, yeah, I totally agree with what Sam is saying. And I think maybe online forums and activities could be a part of it. You know, webinars and virtual events is always a way to connect to people from anywhere in the world. And just we have to keep on doing that and, you know, just not stop at just one event or, you know, a webinar, but, you know, just keep on keep in touch with the professionals and mentoring students would be a great part of, you know, fostering that community.
Do you do anything in addition or do you do anything a little bit differently when you're engaging with your community or how you built your community in Cardiff or in Wales?
Yeah, so I am part of the Matrix committee. So whatever events are rolled by the Matrix, I share it with the university students and, you know, let them know that the students, they have a lesser fee or, you know, entry ticket wherein, you know, so subsidized for students. And, you know, so we make them aware that, okay, you don't have to pay that much. You can just pay a little amount and come and network with the professionals here at the events. So that is what I do. And then make content and make them aware, okay, there's an office that you can come and visit and talk to the board members and professionals and get more out of more information from them.
Yeah, and build your relationships as well, maybe build those working relationships. I think you both touched on it as well. I suppose building a community is not just about those work and the relationships, it's social as well. So through some of those really cool socials you've both talked about, that can also harness that community and bring people together through those, whether it is surfing or meeting a particular venue.
Yeah, and I think there's also, which is a side conversation that we could probably talk about for a few hours, if we're thinking about the community within surveying and construction, which is really important for all of the items and all of the points that we've mentioned earlier on. But in addition to that, there's also a really important point of engaging with the wider community of other professionals in the local area. So whether that's joint events or going to their events, it'll naturally promote surveying and the awareness of the surveyors, both in the region and nationally as well.
Absolutely. And out of interest, when you were working internationally, Sam, did they do things any differently to how we do things with the RSS matrices here?
So I think there are subtle differences, and RICS has a whole host of different countries and continents that it is active in, the Philippines being a prime example, but with the UK being the largest share and with the most visibility and the most number of members and community and things like that. I think there's a lot of growth sector if we're thinking about in Dubai and areas like that. But I think there will be a bit of a lag between now and then. I think if we're thinking about progression, my understanding is that Matrix is very much at the forefront of trying to promote outside of the United Kingdom. So I'd like to see in the next few years that there will be other committees outside of the United Kingdom to do the same job that we're doing, to bridge that gap and to promote that community, which is exactly what we need and the importance of which we've mentioned today.
Absolutely. And Garicha, would you be keen to engage with RICS Matrices in Dubai and Manila or other locations, maybe in Texas, or, you know,
absolutely. I would love to be engaged in whatever I can with the RICS because I'm loving being a campus ambassador, and, you know, I'm getting so many opportunities and connecting with new people and networking with them. So yeah, I would absolutely love to work
closer. Absolutely. And I think you both touched on it. I don't think geographical location is a big barrier anymore. With the technological advancements, it's massively enabled us to collaborate more, regardless of where your location is. There's probably still going to be challenges around time zone, maybe a bit of language, but it's a really, really good opportunity to learn from other people, other regions, other cultures about how they build, how they construct, how they do surveying as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think a notable one that springs to mind is we ran an awareness to mental health CPD. And it was aimed predominantly at the UK matrix, and we spread that out across nationwide. But actually, some of the attendees were from further afield. We had an attendee from Spain, an attendee from Dubai, that originally worked in the UK and aware of the matrix. And then they said, well, actually, that's a topic that I'm actually interested in. So that was really interesting. And that proves the point that that technology and the advancement of that breaks down those barriers and can help bolster that community.
Absolutely. No, that's a really good example. Super. Okay, great. So I think it might be time to wrap up. I'd love to talk to you both a little bit longer and find out more. But I think what we've covered really well about how we are promoting chartership, how we're cultivating that community, how members can get further involved, and how they can maybe enable some action to also contribute. And it'd be great maybe to hear other people in future on the podcast talking about similar activities and initiatives. So I just want to thank you both for those contributions. It's been wonderful talking to you both. And then I also want to just thank you all for listening as well to the RICS podcast. And if you want to engage, then please do. How should we develop this conversation further? Let us know your thoughts on social media, or there's a form on the RICS.org podcast page, or you can follow us on the podcast app or check out our page on RICS.org to stay up to date with the latest episode from the RICS.